Blog Talk Radio.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming fruit shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as sharing health benefits, general support, information, encouragement, and other little side stories and thoughts surrounding the barefooting lifestyle. I'm Phoenix. Today, me and Audrey are hosting from two different locations. I will be letting her on in a second to be able to talk with us today. But you can find us on Instagram at Real Barefoot is Legal. You can find us at barefootislegal.org, and you can find some other great information. If you've been having issues with just getting some backlash, any discrimination, just any negativity or problems in your, you know, barefooting out in public. There's different forms that you can print out and be able to carry around, you know, proof, documentation that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. There have actually never have been any laws against barefooting in the United States. There are no health codes against barefooting in public spaces either. Sorry, my brain is a little clumsy with words today, but I'm going to go ahead and let Audrey on. Okay. Hello?
Hello. Hello, friends. Yes, I'm this Audrey here. Time makes no sense to me. I made a timing error, and I'm in the middle of the woods. So I needed to call in to do the show today, getting a barefoot hike in for the week. It's actually pretty nice here in Ohio. It's in the 50s, so not too shabby. If you hear me huffing and puffing, it's just because I'm walking while I'm talking. So, which could be good. It'll help strengthen my lungs a little bit better. But, oh, man. I just ripped the hat off my troll. Whoops. That makes no sense to anybody else but me. How has your week been, Miss Phoenix? Are you doing okay? Hanging in? Barefooting?
Yeah.
Wise?
I mean, it's been a rough week, but, you know, it hasn't been a bad week either. The weather's definitely been up and down.
Yes, it has.
Which is
like
always annoying, you know. And whenever it gets this time of year, like, I try really hard to, not even just with barefooting, but with, like, just, like, in general with my body, like, acclimating it to the temperature, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
No, it
totally does.
It's like a mix of, like, okay, well, wear more, you know, I might wear more layers, but try to be wearing my coat less. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just finding those in-betweens where it's like, okay, I'm going to wear leggings and jeans. And also for me,
Right. Like,
clothes with my body is also very key, and be able to find that balance with my body in general is also key to me being able to continue barefooting in general, because of different temperature and sensitivity, muscle issues. When it's cold, those muscles are really going to lock it up and tighten, and those joints are going to stiffen more. So anybody else that has these kind of issues, you know, can probably relate to this. But at the same time, you know, that cold and, like, you know, barefooting on cold surfaces can also be really great for inflammation. And so it can kind of be a back and forth struggle to really balance those. I have a lot of different issues that, between chronic pain, hormonal imbalances, all kinds of things that cause issues with me regulating the temperature in my body. And barefooting is actually something that's really great for helping me regulate the temperature in my body, especially in the summer, because shoes are just too hot and too much, and for sure. And even in the winter, fall, spring, you know, I always kind of have to find that right adjustment. It's always kind of hard to, like, acclimate, readjust, and also, like, still accommodating for myself in different ways. But it's been, it hasn't
well,
been
it's
too
about
kind bad.
Of seeing, sorry. Okay, it's kind of about seeing, like, how much can you handle today? Like, starting out, you know, maybe with either a lot or a little and going the opposite direction, you know. Okay, this is too cold, maybe I should put socks on. Maybe this is too cold, maybe I should put an extra shirt on. Or if you start with lots of layers, be like, oh, this is plenty warm, let's take this off. You know, depending on what you want to, how you prefer to start. I think there's different ways of starting it, and it just depends on the person.
Yeah.
Well,
anything.
So, yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying.
Well, in some days, it's not even about necessarily what the outdoor temperature it is. It's also about, like, my body's internal regulation of temperature. So there's certain temperatures that on some days, like when it's around the 30s, where it's like some days it's like, ooh, I know, like, being fully barefoot was not ideal for my body with the cold, but, like, that doesn't mean I'll wear shoes either. But then there's other times where it could be cold outside like that, and it's, like, the most refreshing, rejuvenating thing, you know, and it's, like, above and beyond. And so I think it's also about understanding that our bodies are constantly in an ebb and flow of existing and changing. And even if you have different chronic illnesses, like, it's a constant changing ebb and flow, and you have to be really able to listen and adapt and adjust. And it is a very hard thing to figure out. Everyone is so different. If you have different chronic illnesses, different conditions, that can definitely make things a lot more complicated. Like, you know, there's a lot of
even though they have the same chronic condition. I'm sorry. I know the lag, friends. We're going to try not to get frustrated with each other because there's a lag between words.
You're good.
But no, all I wanted to say was, like you and me with the fibromyalgia, like, you know, one of your things is the cold really bothers you. But for me, it's the heat that really bothers me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, so even though we both have it, it's different for both of us.
Well, and so
it's just
kind of knowing
your own body.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Again. Lag.
You're okay. I'm huffing and puffing through the woods. You're good.
Well, because I had two things. The first thing in response to what you were saying is, like, you know, I can definitely have issues with the extreme heat as well, which is why, like, you know, when I'm in the summer, like, if you catch me wearing next to nothing and I'm barefoot, like, it's hot. I'm trying not to pass out. But then at the same time, in the cold,
okay,
I also have those extreme experiences where I'm like, I'm trying not to freeze to death. And
it's hard to regulate.
What I was going to say before, you had started talking as well, it's like, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why I barefoot. There's a lot of different complicated reasons why I barefoot for my autism. There's a lot of very complicated reasons why I barefoot for my fibromyalgia, my ADHD, my osteoarthritis, you know, just a chronic pain in general, scoliosis.
On my thyroid.
Even reproductive health reasons. And not to talk too much about that, but, you know, I definitely think that it's very beneficial for anybody who is menstruating to, you know, take that time to barefoot however you are personally able to and capable of during your period, even if that's just sitting in the grass
after menopause, trust me.
Yeah, and you can speak more on that aspect of, you know, reproductive health and experience and how barefooting can benefit. But, you know, just from my experience as someone with endometriosis, like, it's something that, you know, I know you can testify this too in your own experiences, that it's like barefooting, you know, during menstruation and finding time for that is so great for a lot of the symptoms. There's actually a lot of, you know, health, like, data behind it. Words are hard right now, but it's really good with the muscles and, you know, all those different aspects that we talk about with muscle and mobility that apply for daily health are things to also keep in mind when, you know, when you're menstruating. And, you know, if you're somebody that experiences a lot of, you know, muscle cramps, and things like that, and inflammation during menstruation that you may not experience other times of the month, definitely I personally recommend trying barefooting out. I have different friends that definitely prefer taking that time to barefoot when they're menstruating, even over other times of the month. So I definitely, I know not to talk too much about reproductive health or make the rest of this show about reproductive health, but this is a very important aspect of health that barefooting also benefits.
And it's something you and I can both talk on, like me with my same issues, but also now that I've gone through menopause and still have some symptoms, I promise you, you get a hot flash, take them shoes off, girl. Take them off, because I promise you it'll go faster. It'll be a lot more tolerable. It'll be a lot more tolerable in the end. Just pop them off. Sorry, passing
and
fellow hikers, so I was just trying to be polite. But, when I would get one at work, I was like they already know, like, when I get my ADHD over, I'm like, I pop my shoes off for a few minutes to help calm me down, right? But, like, when I started getting those menopause symptoms and I'd get a hot flash in the middle classroom, the only thing I could do was take my shoes off because I couldn't just leave the room. You know, I got them full of babies. You know, I can't, like, just because sometimes they get intense and you just want to like almost not even breathe or talk or do anything, but I have to because I'm taking, you know, I'm in there, I'm taking care of children. It's like I would pop my shoes right off. I'd just be like, you got to give me a minute. Hello. You know, you got to, you bear with me because, hello. You know, that's the only thing that would help when I'm in the middle of the classroom with, and we're not, if I left the room, then we, you know, my AQ would be out of ratio. And that's a big, big no-no. Barefooting would help me acclimate to them faster, accept them faster, and then get through them faster. So I highly recommend it for even hot flashes and other menopausal symptoms too. So like barefooting can help, and depending on the person, but it can help anybody with all kinds of situations, you know, not even just what we're talking about. I've heard of it. You know, people use it like just, you know, regular old, it's really nothing regular about it, but like panic attacks, going outside or even inside, wherever you are, just taking your shoes off and grounding yourself can be of a huge, huge benefit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Barefooting is a very versatile thing that can be used to help accommodate, relieve, and just remove stress
accept.
And so many different
and
aspects
them,
of life situations and
right.
different disabilities. Well, and what you're
yeah.
saying too with like hot flashes, I did want to, you know, add something even for me as someone who hasn't experienced menopause but has, you know, reproductive health issues and other issues that cause, you know, hot flashes and issues with temperature, you know, even if you're,
mm-hmm.
you know, a young woman or a young person in general, for whatever reason, you're maybe experiencing a hot flash or hot flash-like symptoms, you know, taking off your shoes can be a really great way to regulate temperature. Most of our temperature is released through our feet, hands, and head. And
mm-hmm.
so that's
all
why
our activities,
it's
yeah.
very important to be aware of that, even as barefooters. Being aware of when we may be losing too much body temperature, of course, and having to protect our feet and protect our bodies by protecting our feet, but also being aware of those are key areas of where we release body temperature can be really helpful with reducing,
mm-hmm.
You know, excessive body temperature and kind of restoring that sense of body temperature back to equilibrium. There are times
well,
where
and
you
not
have to
it.
Open windows or go sit outside and do anything I can to, you know, regulate my body temperature, and barefooting is also a really great way of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if I'm just sitting outside being barefoot, you know, maybe I may not want to walk around or be in this, you know, temperature for long, but being able to, you know, just restore my body to that sense of equilibrium with body temperature when I get overheated
yeah.
or experiencing hot flashes or anything like that is really beneficial. And so
well,
and
not
then,
even just
you know, there are
too.
Other ways of regulating body temperature too. You know, say if as it gets into the colder months, you can't rely on barefooting and you still have those issues, I do want to throw out those other tips and tricks. You know, just, you know, open a window for a couple minutes, just go sit outside, even if you have to put your shoes on, you know, taking your hat off, taking your gloves off, you know, for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, anything you can do, obviously highly recommend barefooting. This is a, you know, a barefooter's,
and
you
look
know,
for, like,
pro
the
barefooting
shoes, like,
play. But
look for shoes
you
that
know,
you have to that are, like, super minimalist.
Yeah.
You know, that are, like, the closest you can get to being barefoot but protect you enough. I mean, because it also will activate,
yeah.
like, the nerves and tendons in your feet to, like, so that way it would help your, which is, like, whole body. I'm sure most of you have seen, like, the diagrams of feet where you can, you know, do a foot rub and it'll help different parts of your body. Well, and if you think about it, how when, you know, you're walking, you're pressing on and moving and massaging and touching and pushing. If you have shoes, it's kind of like one solid layer. But when you go outside with all the different textures and feels and types of ground, you know, it'll put the pressure on it differently and essentially help and affect those areas of your body as well. You know, so it's multi-beneficial to take the shoes off, because it's almost like getting your own reflexology massage on your own for free.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and definitely on a day like today, it's like definitely recommend, you know, going barefoot and just taking advantage of
here.
The free resource that barefooting is to health. And if you really think about it. But at the same time, you know, throwing out those things that when we get into the, you know, colder months for those people that are going to be experiencing heavy snow, understand that your frustration and limitations that may occur with being able to barefoot are totally valid. And, you know, there are still other ways that you can, you know, regulate your body temperature. There are still other ways that you can still get barefooting in, even if it's not going outside,
right,
going to public or going on hikes, you know, still finding ways of barefooting in your home, barefooting on your porch. When you are in places where, you know, you're going to be inside for a while, being able to, you know, take your shoes off and just remembering that it's not completely hopeless either. Because I know sometimes I get like that barefooting frustration once you get into like the winter and it's heavy snow, you're just like, I'm done. And I'm sure with it being December, there are probably areas that are already experiencing snowfall that we're not even experiencing here in Ohio.
Right. Well, and one thing, I was talking to my husband about what I was going to do. He laughed at me, but I'm still going to do it. Because my favorite thing in life hiking is finding the good mud. You know, that's super squishy. You can dance in it, squish in it, and that's my favorite. Like, it helps my whole, I found so much good mud out here today, like, my heart is happy. So what I was going to do, I'm going to get some dirt, and I'm going to put it in a big old bin. And then, like, when it's super cold out and, like, the ground's frozen and snow everywhere, just add some water to it and sit with it and just squish my feet in it. Just bring it inside. Have a bin of good mud ready at all times, you know, so that way I can still get that tactile relief and sensation, because it does. I don't know what it is about it. I can't scientifically explain to you, but just when I – it's funny because, like, one of my sons, he hates shoes too, so he'll barefoot hike with me. But he gets in the, what I call the good mud, and it gives him, he said, the heebie-jeebies. He doesn't like it, you know, so it's different for everybody. But like, so for me, if that's something you enjoy, like, you can make accommodations for it. Or if you're, like, just the way, like, typical, just, like, hard, wet ground feels, you know, still make a bin, enough water to make it hard, and then that way you can just kind of feel it with your feet. Even if it's the middle of the winter, you can still get that tactile experience and sensation.
Yeah, and with your ADHD, it probably has a lot to do with sensory and stimulation needs and, you know, deficits even. And that's something that I can even relate to. So honestly, it may be very unconventional. It may not make sense to a lot of people that don't have those same needs. But to me, you know, it makes complete sense. I think it's completely valid. And I think, honestly, it's a great thing to bring up as an option for other people that are having these same experiences that just really need that good mud all year long, you know?
Exactly.
Just
because
their,
like,
brains and
one of those things,
work correctly.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good.
Lag. If you're a person and you know you have these needs or these, I don't like to say issues, but I mean, I guess they're issues with, you know, your mental health, and there's something you know you need, but you can't have it year round. Find a way to be able to bring it in. Even if it's like, I know some people, actually, I have a friend that really likes the feel of sand, and I suggested to her getting a bin and just have a bin of sand so she can put her feet in it whenever she wants. You know, if you like the feeling of regularly, like the pea gravel, the pebbles and stuff, get yourself a bin, fill it with gravel. You can go and just put your feet, put it under your desk or wherever you work. You know, you can have it anytime that you feel that, like, overwhelm and that need for whatever it is that your feet prefer. You know, there's all, it might, like Phoenix said, it might not be conventional. It might not be what, you know, you typically see, but who cares? If it helps, it helps. I mean, we do it enough to become conventional, you know, enough of us start having our earth bins. There we go. That's what we'll call them. They're earth bins. You know, create yourself an earth bin for inside. You know, all you need is a bin big enough to fit whatever sensation it is and your feet to be able to go in it, you know. Like mine, I'm not going to fill it all the way because my feet are going to squish it out. But, like, about halfway, make it soupy, there I'll go. I'll have my good mud for me, you know. So it's just, it's one of those, whatever seems to help your mental health if it's not something that's going to hurt somebody. I mean, like, sometimes you get frustrated and you want to throw a rock at somebody. Don't do that. Like, that hurts people. That goes against the be kind, help when you can, and don't be a jerk. That's being a jerk. You know?
It's also often an emotional feeling rather than an actual, you know, desire to do that. You know? It's
not
an emotional
response. No, you're absolutely right. Oh, you know what? I just thought you could take some leaves and fill it in with leaves and have that. I'm going to have, like, 8 bins in my house now, and my husband's going to be like, oh,
honestly,
my word.
Honestly, we should put together some of these, like, you know, because even I have a couple ideas on things, because I even thought about, like putting Orbeez in a bin would be cool, and so, like, we should just make a list, and we should maybe hopefully put this together so we could, you know, share some
ideas
with
other
people on
Instagram. And we can do videos and share them on Instagram. We can do videos, share them on Instagram, show people how to make them, and list the benefits of it, how we felt. Boom. We have our next.
Because
next
I think that's something
that
would also genuinely help both of us, and two, while also something that would help other people. And that's not to be like, oh, we're only doing things that also help us. But like, I know we're both, you and I have been with like burning out and with health issues, it's always hard to be able to fully commit things. But that's something that I, you know, I think would be really interesting to try out, and I think it'd be interesting for other people to see that. And I think that these are things that could be very versatile. I mean, you know, there could be different bucket sizes, and you know, and just understanding that whatever you have to do to keep yourself sane in the winter and still stem and have sensory experiences through barefooting to help relieve those stressors to your nervous system.
You can even do one where you go grow grass
and build your nervous system. Like, do it. What'd you say?
Yeah. I was just thinking you could do one where you have grass in it. When it gets too tall, part of, you know, your sensory, your calming could just be using scissors to trim the grass up. And then, you know, you'd be able to also put your feet on it when you can't get outside. That would be amazing. I think we're on to something, Phoenix. I really do. Mine was just like what I was going to do for myself, but now it's like morphing into something more. And I think that's something we can share with people on how to make their own, you know, sensory bins. I think that's we're geniuses.
But I think it's definitely something we'll have to brainstorm and
I'm
get
excited.
Together more about, but
I'm excited right now.
I think it's something that, you know, people could really customize, and it, you know, may not be conventional, and you know, barefooting itself isn't really conventional, but you know, who really cares if it's something that is benefiting your mental health and or physical
health?
I'm
not a very conventional person by any means.
Yeah. No, and that's totally valid.
You know, nothing about me really is.
Yeah.
So,
but like, you're good. No, I was just going to say.
Sorry, I got
distracted because
I was getting ticked, so.
No, you're good. I was going to say, you know, but if it's something that benefits, you know, your mental health and or spiritual health, emotional health and or physical health or any other aspect of health, any dimension of self and identity, then why find shame in it? Why worry about being conventional? If you're not, you know, hurting anybody, you know, if you're not
and it's helping you.
Causing any issues or problems, then, you know, keep doing you and do what's best for you. I think that, unfortunately, we live in a society obsessing over so much about what's conventional, what isn't, to the point that it's just about social status to be this sense of normalcy that is completely disconnected from being a human. And being human
and
is
people trying to
your
be
body
perfect humans, which there's no
taking
such
care
thing.
Of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say?
I was saying, and people are trying to be perfect humans, which there's no such thing. Like, we're all only trying to make it through this thing the best way we know how, hoping for a better whatever. You know, and maybe it's here to make a better whatever, and I hope that's not, that plane flying over me is not blocking me out, but we're all in this thing called Live Together, and whatever we can, you can do to help be a benefit instead of a burden, you know, like, do it. Why not? You know? And don't ever feel like you're being a burden on somebody, because chances are there's someone out there that can help you through whatever it is you're going through, and you're not a burden to them. Because, like me, my favorite thing in the world is helping. Like, if you ask me for something to help out, I get excited. I'm like, yes, I will absolutely help. You know, it's like my favorite thing to do is help people. And that's not to be like, oh, yay me or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I think a lot of people feel that way. That, like, when they get to help somebody or do something nice for somebody, it makes them feel good. You know, so it helps both the person you're helping and the helper. So it's just, don't ever worry about thinking you're a burden, because, like I said, chances are there's someone out there that is more than willing to help. You know, you just got to find that right person.
Yeah, well, and even in different, like, psych classes, you know, we talked about extrinsic and intrinsic motivation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember
mm-hmm.
which is which, and I feel like that kind of ties in. But in general,
extrinsic,
you know,
is where you need an outside reason to do something. And then intrinsic is where you do it because you want to do it, because there's no actual reward, physical reward.
Yeah. And the thing is, yeah, like, there, and I think naturally a lot of more people and a lot of us do have an intrinsic, you know, desire to help others.
Right.
Because, you know, we've become so, again, like, going back to, you know, trying to fulfill this idea of normalcy, to belong and to have value, that's within this social just norm crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is extrinsic motivation for sure. And, you know, but it's this kind of corruption that's put on us to having this sense of status or this sense of identity or worth and helping others. But I think most of us, you know, we generally, naturally, and even if you look at children, I mean, children can be, you know, quote unquote, selfish. But we also have to keep in mind, you know, the egocentrism.
Well, they're very
that
egotistical.
Naturally. Yeah, because
yeah.
they aren't, you know, fully aware of the separation of self and others. And that can,
mm-hmm.
you know, happen longer and be an issue longer for different children, you know, with, you know, ADHD and autism. But in general, you know, even if you look at children, they tend to have, you know, this, to want to help. They may not understand how they're helping.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they may not be helping and think they are, but they want to. And there's, because I think naturally as people, you know, we want to help others because we want to be connected to others. We want to connect. It's, and
mm-hmm.
it's not, and there is a sense
of
creatures. Meaning
very
that comes that isn't selfish, but it's fulfilling, you know, to connect
right.
with others. You know, a lot of us, you know, we do have a desire to give love and to other people, but that can be corrupted, you know, when people feel hurt and it's like, you know, and get their heart broken or, you know, go through traumas over and over again. You know, a lot of that can definitely be manipulated over time through the society we live in, and trauma and things like that. But
mm-hmm.
you know, most of us do have a desire within us to help others, you know, because of it just feels good. We are programmed to be sociable creatures. Does that mean you can go around and trust everybody? No, not by any means.
No.
You have to think, with the society we live in, the brainwashing, the maladaptiveness that has taken place in, you know, with compassion and love and our natural desire as people to connect, you definitely have to take all, you know, that, just all those problems and issues into consideration, all of, you know, the issues within our world. You have to definitely take that in consideration, but also understanding that the world is, and people are not as bad as we think, and we need to,
they're not
you,
as bad
you know,
as
but
the media
not be so distrusting and feeling that we're a burden because of those traumas and problems and things
right.
like that. Most people, you know, want to help others because we all have a desire to connect, to give love and receive love. And it's not about
right.
living, but it's about being in equilibrium. if that makes
sense.
And
I don't think the world is just like, yeah, I don't think the world is as terrible as, like, the media conveys it. Like, I think essentially, like, I love those people, but, like, groups of people, it's like that's where trouble can get started, if that makes sense. But I don't think essentially that, like, people, average everyday people that you meet and run into are as terrible as, like, say, the media would want you to think they are. I think a lot of it is fear-mongering, and because most people I run into, whatever, you know, background they have, are typically just people that want to make it through this like the rest of us. You know, some people I've run into can be malicious and ridiculous. I won't disagree with that. Like, there's just some people out there that you're like, I'm going to avoid that person. But on average, from my personal experience, and, you know, I talk to everybody. I get annoying with it, I think, sometimes. I just talk. But most people I end up talking to are just typically kind, you know, trying to make it people. If that computes properly, I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah, you do. And I think it's important to understand that even people that are often ignorant and uneducated with their footing and
mm-hmm.
have been sold the fear mongering, that they're just people trying to make it through. And, you know,
right.
a lot of them
and they don't know.
Have ill will. Or bad intention, yeah, some people should probably mind their business more. But I guess I think, too, a lot of the times the environments, like I brought up, you know, last week, a lot of the environments that are created in a lot of corporations and just environments, it's a very uncomfortable and you got to be on your toes environment for a lot of workers to work in where they're constantly worried about their jobs because everybody's worried about their
right.
income. Some people are struggling financially. The disparity in this country just keeps
yeah.
getting bigger and bigger. And so many people are worried about their job security. They're worried that if they don't say something that they're doing something wrong and it'll come back on them. And so that's why I try
right.
to have compassion. Now, obviously, if you're going to be nasty and disrespectful, especially if it's not your job, I'm not going to take that. And I'm going to still stand up for myself. But
exactly.
I try to have a little bit of empathy and compassion, understand that this person might think that they're doing the right thing and they might just be uneducated. So tell them. And if I
exactly.
am more level-headed about it, they're probably more likely to hear me out than when being aggressive. But obviously, if you're going to be attacking towards me, like, obviously, I'm going to adjust accordingly because I'm not going to be threatened. So, you know, and it can be
I'm
going to
give what I get.
I'm autistic,
yeah.
So, you know, as someone, like, as someone who's autistic, I understand it can be really hard to judge social situations and how to kind of match that energy. And I think it's also hard because, and I've been seeing more autistic people talk about this online, where, you know, autistic people were picking up on the social cues and the things that people aren't saying and how a lot of holistic
mm-hmm.
or non-autistic people are typically you know, putting up this front and being very fake and, you know, we're not, and if we address those things and often when we do, or we act accordingly to those things, it's, you know, there's something wrong with us and,
right.
because we're not playing this social game and there's so much there too, it's even go into. And so it can be really hard to, judge how to handle conflict for sure. And it's something that I've learned because I, you know, kind of had to learn a lot in my childhood and within my life. And so I hate saying that, but that's a big way that I learned. And I think that's a big way a lot of people learn is just by having to deal with things. So it's hard for me to really
yeah.
give the best advice on
well,
how to deal
experience.
With things
yeah.
and being honest. But just trying
yeah.
to handle things level-headedly at first, if you're not sure, you know, if it's like, okay, they're not really being too aggressive, maybe they're just uninformed, try to lead, you know, with that level-headedness first. But obviously if they're going to escalate things, you know, stand your ground, do not take it, but, you know, try not to get too aggressive just because not because your emotions aren't valid and because you don't deserve respect, but because unfortunately we have to be careful about how we deal with conflict in public, especially when we're there. But, you know, people can spin things completely out of control. And it's just about being smart for your safety. But at the same time, when you're in your safe place and, you know, where you can feel your emotions, definitely take the time to feel that frustration, vent that frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find those people you can talk to about that frustration, do what you can, and allow yourself to feel those things so it doesn't just bottle up in you until it finally bursts out after that final straw.
Right.
That, you know, it's
right.
really important to feel
but
these
unfortunately,
things.
Like she said, I feel like you said, unfortunately, it is important how we portray ourselves when we're confronted, because people tend to, like, if you get defensive or nasty back, they see it as you, they'll say, well, you know you're making it up, or you wouldn't be so upset that we're coming at you, that kind of an attitude. So as hard as it can be, and I've had some situations where it was very, very hard, and I'm not saying it's always going to be easier. I'm better than anybody else. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm grateful. Like, when the fellow was verbally assaulting me in the middle of Kroger and, like, yelling about how I was going to get the store shut down and all these nasty things at me, I was able to keep my cool even when the management got involved. And so he ended up looking like a total fool because he's coming at somebody who's minding their own business and not being a jerk. Like, it was hard. I wanted to flip him out of his Mark cart. I wanted to knock him over. I'm not going to lie. I was very upset. But, and again, I'm hiking right now, so breathing and talking can be tricky. But even when, like, they tried to act like they were going to ask me to leave, I kept my cool, and I just said, well, is he leaving? And they were looking at me all confused, like, why would they make him leave? You know, they didn't get it. And I was like, well, you make me leave, and I'm just minding my own business, getting my stuff. But he's verbally assaulting your customers, and you're telling me that's okay. Like, I could go scream at anybody I want for any reason I want and get them kicked out of the store and still do my shopping. That's what you're saying to me. And that's not a safe shopping environment. And they got what I was saying, and they didn't make me leave either, but I was just like, the fact that they were going to try, but let that fella stay. It just,
yeah.
I was like, no, thank you.
And I think,
we're not doing this.
Yeah. Sorry. I was just saying, I think your
experience no, you're fine. Go ahead.
Really shows that you have to play it smart, and you really do have to do what you can to handle things as level-headedly as possible when dealing with, you know, discrimination, barefooting in public, because, you know, people are not going to take you seriously and act like you're the one creating a disturbance, even when they're no longer against it, you know, depending on the environment and the place you're in. Now, I've been to a lot of places where people don't care at all, but I've also been to places where, you know, you can tell they care even if they don't kick you out or try to kick you out or say something, but then having those interactions where people want to say things, you know, and it's like you really do have to handle things level-headedly and handle situations the smart way sometimes rather than the way that you wish you could, because when you situations like that, you know, your emotional response, your emotions, your feelings, they're not going to be taken seriously. They're just going to be disregarded and thrown out the window and or used as ammo or fuel to demonize you and to, you know, burn your reputation or, you know, the perspective of you, rather than showing why you're justified and why you're valid and why this matters. And which is really hard and really frustrating, because it's just, it is a further insult, honestly, to your frustrations and discrimination. So, like, I'm here to validate people that are frustrated for having, you know, to play situations smart when you're in public, when it's like, these are your rights and you're not doing anything wrong. There are no laws or health against it. Like, that's incredibly frustrating. And it's totally valid
it
to
is.
Be frustrated at the system and to be ticked off. But unfortunately, we have to work with it to further our cause, to further our safety, to be able to not deal with being discriminated further and being attacked or having the discrimination justified. And this goes for other demographics as well, and I think that's why we need to have empathy for each other. Even if you don't fall into a demographic, having understanding and having empathy for why they have to play things the way they do or be so careful about things. You know, because different people can be labeled as paranoid or, oh, you should stand up for yourself more. And that's totally valid. Like, you should. But at the same time, you have to play things within the system of society and for your own safety. Because if you start screaming back at somebody the way that guy was screaming at you while you were barefooting, you don't know what could get involved with, you know, security cops type things. You know what I mean? And, like, you have to do what you have to do for you. It's not about not standing up for yourself.
Right, because typically as soon as you raise your voice back, they just see you as an aggressor then. And they see you as either starting it, even if you didn't, or just furthering the incident, the disagreement, the frustration. And they then see you as at fault. If you're yelling, unfortunately, like, that's the thing, is as soon as you start yelling, they're like, oh, they're just being a problem. They're, you know, they're just trying to make it up and trying to push their ways or push their views, and we're not going to listen to them because they're just yelling at me, and I don't like to be yelled at, you know, so
Well,
trying to breathe
something.
And keep your calm is essential.
Right. For sure. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good.
Yeah, you're good. I was just going to add that I saw something, it was actually on TikTok, but it was talking about the polarization effect, where as people talk more about a topic that they have different viewpoints at, how really their views aren't as drastic, and they didn't perceive the other person as having as drastic views, but the more they talk about things, how even if it's often not true to that person's views, because of the way the conversation is going on, the more polarizing of effect there is on how you view that person's belief systems more and more as the conversations go on because of the things they're saying and the evidence they're bringing up or the stories they're bringing up, and also that same thing is happening to with the way that they're perceiving your opinion and your perspective, and that you're moving further and further away from agreeance as the conversation goes on, often, especially with heavy topics. But it's not that you agree any more or less with each other actually, or that the viewpoints that you're perceiving the other to have are actually true to that person's viewpoint. Especially since people can often have very complicated in-between viewpoints, especially if two people are coming to a conversation with in-between, in the middle viewpoints, but they're leaning or looking at even just different information. And I think it's interesting because that happens with everything, I think, like, to some degree, especially with people that you don't know very well, more than others, more in particular, because you don't have that background or that context. But I think we also need to keep in mind how that happens with barefooting in particular, and how, you know, people can have these different experiences. And so you do kind of have to play things level-headed, because especially if you're getting emotional in this conversation, these viewpoints are going to become, and this perspective of disagreeing, like, this, you know, is going to be more drastically perceived.
Right.
And that's going to influence and inform the conversation and how you perceive that person, even, based upon other contexts and patterns, associations.
No, I agree with that completely. It definitely is spot on.
And, I was kind of worried because I wasn't explaining it very well. I'm trying to remember who the creator was.
I think you did.
But I can't remember who was talking about it, but she was also talking about how it was coming up on her For You page, and, you know, so just kind of a chain of things. But I do think it does apply with barefooting, and for sure, and interactions in public.
Yeah.
And so it can be really hard, and it's totally valid to be frustrated and ticked off and about, you know, dealing with confrontation, discrimination, anything like that, and then also having people level-headed through that. So definitely feel your emotions in your safe places and vent to your safe people. But, you know, we do have to handle
work
things
on ways to keep it together in public. Yeah. So,
but I think finding that time to feel those emotions and vent it out however you need to and work through it however you need to, you know, and taking that time to set aside is very important because it helps you keep you from bottling these things up. And so, and I think it makes setting a time to deal with it and that frustration, even though you don't want to feel it, helps be able to deal with the next interaction and the next encounter. And rather than it just having this nagging, disastrous, you know, feeling of looming over you, like, oh, I don't want to deal with this again. Oh, when you're able to feel it and deal with it. And
right.
Be like, you know what? I still don't deserve this. And, you know, this is still stupid and I'm allowed to be mad. Because I think anger definitely does serve a purpose. There's a difference, you know, because anger is emotion. That doesn't mean you become an aggressor or something like that. But anger is still a valid emotion, and learning how to exercise that and whichever interpretation of exercise, and in both are tied in with that, you know, both homophones of that word. Feeling like being able to take the time to exercise that anger and experience it and work through it really helps alleviate it and keep it from bottling up and influencing your next experience, your next interaction with another person, or going out into public. And because it can definitely pile up and it can become a lot. But I think when we're able to work with our anger and allow ourselves to feel it and experience it and validate it, it keeps it from being this thorn under the surface, but just this wound that keeps festering
right.
until you can't take it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's about finding that balance between validating your own emotions and handling things the way that you need to.
It's in private to handle it, feel better in the moment, be able to handle it. Sorry, I'm out of breath. Just climbed a hill.
You're good. But
I'm going to mute me for just a second, okay?
You're good. But remember, folks, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States in public spaces. There never have been any laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces. Unfortunately, a lot of people think there are, but that is just propaganda and misinformation. So remember, you're not doing anything wrong. You're not doing anything morally or legally wrong. And it is very frustrating to have to keep a level head when you're being discriminated against and, you know, it's incredibly frustrating, and it's incredibly valid to have that frustration and anger. So, you know, find that time and place to be able to feel it and experience it, but just remember to handle things as level-headedly as you can. And what helps me with that is just leading with the information and focusing on the information and the facts. You know, I say, well, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces, and this is a public space by definition. It's illegal for there to be a store policy or a policy here against me barefooting. That's actually, you asking me to leave is discrimination. You know, bringing up those kinds of facts is, I think, the best way to really be able to handle it level-headedly is focus on the facts and the information. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting. I am not doing anything morally or legally wrong. You can even say that, you know.
And you can't ask me what my medical, spiritual, or otherwise mental condition happens to be. That is violating my HIPAA rights.
Yeah.
So, sorry about that, folks. I just, like, it wasn't a very big hill, but I'm very out of shape. I've put on almost 40 pounds in 3 months. They don't know why it's going so fast, but we're figuring it out. That was hard.
Yeah. How has your
AirPods are dying? Of course they are.
Oh, I was going to ask, how is the barefoot hike going?
It's going really good. I'm loving it. It's the perfect weather out here. It's not, like, so hot that I feel like I need to strip, but it's not so hot. Like, there's been a couple spots where, because I'm in the shade, but, like, I felt like my toes started to hurt a little bit, but not enough to be wish I had shoes or anything, you know, just enough to be like, ooh, that's getting a little chilly. Like, right now, I'm about to walk across a little bit of water after mudding just to get to a rock. I have a place out here that I call Fairyland. That's what I was climbing the hill to. So I'm in Fairyland right now, and I'm going to sit and take a break, you know. But it's been beautiful. It's the perfect weather. It's like 50s and gorgeous wet out, you know, which is fine.
But she like it because of the rain and mud.
Yeah, right. Well, and actually, so Fairyland has this waterfall, and there's almost never water falling. It's really dry. And I'm super excited because there's water falling right now, and it's making me so happy.
Love that.
It's very nice. So I'm just, I found my happy spot. There's somebody trimming, like, bushes and stuff over here. I think he works for, like, Grangers or whatever. He didn't say anything to me about being down here, so I'm cool. And he's just getting, like, things that are falling and they're dangerous if people get brave to explore off-trail, which is my favorite thing to do when I'm... But, no, it's beautiful. I've taken a few live photos. I'll show them to you later. It is amazeballs when it's going like this. It's not, like, the heaviest I've seen it, but it just makes me happy to see it going at all. You know,
because
the last several times I've been down here, it's been dry as a bone, like not even a trickle. And now it's actually, I can hear it. It's going so much.
Love that.
So,
yeah,
it makes me happy.
Definitely some great weather for it being December.
Yeah.
To be able to get a barefoot hike in. So... anyone that can get one in, I definitely recommend it. My body's been weird today, I'm debating on whether or not I'll get
a barefoot
hike in, but
I
would love to be able to try to get out and I'm hoping the weather will still stay warm because the last time I went out, it was like, it was barely 40, I think.
Last Sunday was rough. It was like chilly, like mid to upper 40s, and I was got like about an hour / a mile into my hike, and it started raining. I was super thankful I keep a poncho in my hiking pack. so I was prepared for it, you know. But I'm always overprepared. Got kids scouts, you know. The three of my sons are scouts, so they stress to always be prepared. I kind of gave to them myself, but anyway, on with it. Yeah, but it got a little cold. I was super sad because it dropped like 30s and it was wet, so I kind of had to wipe my feet off and put them daggum shoes on and foot tools for a bit of it, but I did get to barefoot a good chunk of it, so I was happy about that. Today I didn't even bring them with me. I'm like, nope, it's warm enough, and if it drops down, I'll just hustle butt to my car.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. I couldn't today. There are some days where it's just like, you're just like, I can't. The week I've had, I can't. So, yeah. But it's gorgeous out here today. If you are in the Midwest, in the Dayton, Ohio area, the weather is perfect to get out there and get a hike in. I don't know about anywhere else because I'm not anywhere else, but I'm telling you, it's perfect weather for it. It's like, feels like it's late spring.
Love that. I was just going to say, if you're, you know, somewhere where it's warm and, you know, with this time of year, that being pretty unexpected, even, especially here, even, it's been a little kind of abnormal, but, you know, take advantage of, you know, that time to be able to barefoot for sure. But also, you know, be aware of the days when it does drop down, it does get colder, you know, especially if you're new to this and you haven't been doing this very long. Be mindful of the temperatures, be mindful of how long you're hiking, you know, be prepared to the best of the ability. And just know that especially if you're, you know, new at this, or even if you're not new at this and your body, you know, is just, you have to listen to it, you know, when it's getting colder, you know, there's no shame in having to do what you got to do to protect yourself. You know, there are so many ways that we can enjoy nature and grounding, you know, it's definitely, you know, of course, never worth it to endanger yourself, but also there's also no shame in pushing your limitations that you know that you are okay and comfortable with pushing as well, because I know too, you know, when you don't have people that support your barefooting in your life and they're looking at you like, oh, you're crazy, what are you doing? That can also be very frustrating. So if you're someone that's in a place where you're able to push your boundaries and kind of build up that endurance on what you're doing, that's awesome. You know, more power to you. But remember, again, still take care of yourself, but you're not crazy for either for trying to, you know, push your boundaries and push that endurance with barefooting. And just know that wherever you're at in your barefooting experience is completely valid, you know, whether it's, you know, kind of freaking people out because they're like, how are you able to do that? Because you're wearing, you know, shoes so minimally, or, you know, you have to put them on because you're like, oh, crap, I got to protect myself. Or, you know, whatever, wherever you're at, know that that is completely valid and that is still listening to your body. And as long as you're listening to your body, that's all that matters. And
right.
You know what I mean? Your body will tell you on some level if you're endangering it. You know, I have issues with interoception, so sometimes I have to find different ways that may be unconventional to how my body is telling me. But
when it comes
know,
to tips
really
and tricks, that is number one.
Signs are there. Oh, sorry, what?
Yeah. Sorry. No, I was just saying it's that when I give tips and tricks on, you know, barefooting in public or even in nature, wherever you have one of barefoot, I know where barefoot is legal and the main thing is in public, so I'll stick with that. But my number one, my two most important tips, tricks, whatever, are one, listen to your body. Make sure you know what your body's doing and what's around you and what you're, where you're going. And two is be confident. Have the confidence to know that what you're doing is not wrong. Have the confidence to know that you are strong enough to do this, that if it is helping you, it is 1,000% valid accommodation, you know, but listen to your body and pay attention to your surroundings. Those are like my two most important, you know, number one rules to barefooting, in my opinion. So, like what you're saying is absolutely right.
Yeah,
and
I think it's just,
your,
oh, sorry. I wasn't sure if you were done.
No, you're okay.
We continue. You're good.
No, I was for a second, but then I wasn't sure you had anything to say, so I was going to keep going because it's hard to tell with the lag. But I was just going to say, you know, if you don't feel confident enough in yourself and your abilities and your, you know, I don't want to say backbone, but, you know, your that's basically what, you know, word that anybody would understand, your ability to stand up for yourself. Start small, you know, local gas stations, 9.9 times out of 10, they don't care, you know. Most of the time, the little mom and pop shops, the little small businesses don't care. They understand that, you know, they're there to make money anyway, and typically they don't make as much as these big corporations, so they don't want to kick their careful about who they actually ask to leave. You know what I mean? So it's like, and then if they do say anything, just explain to them, you know, there are no longer health codes. If I do end up injuring myself due to my barefooting, that's on me. And like I've said before, I don't know how everybody else feels, but if I've hurt myself, one time I twisted my ankle going into a store, but it was because of my own stupidity. And they wanted me to fill out this paperwork and incident report and blah, 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 in case I had to go get it looked at, which I did, because I could tell that I did. I needed one of those air casts. I could tell because I've hurt myself enough, I know. But I told him, no, I'm not going through all their systems. Besides, I said, if I go in, I'm going to tell them I did it at home. You know, if it's my idiot fault, because then you don't have the issues with anything like that with that go along with that. So I just thought, oh my God, I was going down the stairs at my house and I twisted my ankle. Okay, cool. Covered. You know, so if it's because of your own negligence. Now, if it's because of the sword or something that you would have got hurt whether you're wearing shoes or not, that's different. You know, that's their negligence. But if it's because the sole reason you got hurt was because you chose not to wear shoes, that is a liability of personal liability on yourself. It just depends on the circumstances.
Yeah. Or even if you're wearing shoes and you were to get hurt by not negligence, but say your own lack of coordination, that would not be negligence on the store. That would be your personal liability. So it's it's pretty simple, but I can understand where, you know, it's a little bit more complicated than some people may think, all the different
people
factors.
People make it complicated.
It's just pretty simple, honestly.
People are complicated.
Yeah.
The situations generally are simple, straightforward. It's people that complicate things. It's us. We do. We're the problem. It's us. Sorry. That song keeps popping in my head whenever I do something stupid. I'm like, that's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Like it's something like if there was, say, broken glass on the ground and they knew about it and they made no effort to clean it and you step on it. That's on them because they made no effort to keep their store safe. But if they're making an effort and there's a sign around it that said, you know, lets you know there's broken glass here, we're working on cleaning it up, or they're in the middle, there's an employee on the ground in the middle cleaning it up, and you just, you're like, whatever, I'm going to get something off the shelf anyway, and you step on a piece, that is then on you because clearly there's a situation where there's something dangerous on the floor, they're trying to get it cleaned up, it's obvious, but you said, I don't care. You know, it's the same as if, you know, same situation and you had thin shoes on and the glass went through the sole of your shoe into your foot. If they're making an effort, it's still on you. You know, there's the contributory negligence law that's like you can go at them for whatever part they played. But that's when you get into, like, complicated, ridiculous stuff. And that's in my opinion, that's petty. But that's just me. I'm not trying to say there's no reason for it ever. But typically when you hear about it, it's like, that's petty. You made the choice to go try and grab something anyway, and you hurt yourself knowing there was an issue. That should 100% be on you, in my opinion. There should be no contributory nothing. The store shouldn't be responsible for any of it if they're making an effort and you're ignoring it. But, again, people make things complicated. So then insurance companies will be like, well, this percentage is your fault. You need to go after the store for this percentage. And it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm no lawyer, so whatever. I'm just a preschool teacher. So I don't know what your opinion is on that matter, Miss Phoenix, but that's where I'm at on it. But
yeah.
I don't think things like that should cause people to fear going out in public, but like I think that's one of the things people are afraid of it. And there's no reason to be afraid of it as long as, again, you're paid, listen to your body, you're paying attention to your surroundings, and you're confident in what you're doing. There's no reason to be afraid to do it. Like, I go out, I go everywhere, absolutely everywhere, barefoot, except for, again, work. But they've started to allow me, when I get overwhelmed, to slip my shoes off for a minute to get myself together. And that I'm grateful for that. But, like, otherwise, I'm, you know, doctor's offices, post office, grocery store. I've been to court, again, been to court, I've been to, you know, into police stations, I've been in the library, I've been everywhere. And in the library, they tried to tell me I had to have shoes on, and I explained to them that that was actually illegal, and I do it for spiritual, medical, and health reasons, and they understood, and I guess they have issues with teenagers being ridiculous with it, so they have to have that kind of rule. But I'm like, I'm not worried about that, I'm worried about myself, and I'm not going to put shoes on to come in here. I'm just simply not. Like, it is my right to take care of myself as I see fit, as long as I'm not hurting anybody. And me not wearing shoes doesn't hurt anybody when I'm not paying attention and I stub my toe or step on something. But otherwise, it doesn't hurt anybody, you know. But, so, like, I've been everywhere. You can have confidence in yourself just knowing other people do it. Like, if that's what helps, just think about the fact that other people are doing this. Like, we are going out and we are living our lives barefoot. And there's, you know, sometimes, again, you run into slight issues, but there's no reason to be afraid to do it. If you're ready and you're armed with your information, you know there are no laws or health codes. You know they can't ask you what your medical or spiritual or mental health reason is, because that violates your HIPAA. All they need to do is understand that it is a valid accommodation and treatment for whatever it is you're going through, and that they cannot discriminate against you for participating in this form of accommodation. If you had a cane, they're not going to, if you couldn't walk and you had a cane, they can't refuse your service because you're using the accommodation, or a wheelchair, or a helper dog. I know that's not what they're called, but you know what I mean. If you're using, you know, a pet or not a pet, but like an animal for your essential support, they can't refuse you. You know, they can't, if you need glasses to see, they can't tell you you can't be in there with your glasses on. It's the same thing. We're using it as an accommodation for our particular set of circumstances. It's the same thing as using a cane or a boot or like I said, glasses or whatever. It's a hearing aid. They can't refuse you for a hearing aid because you're deaf or hard of hearing. They can't refuse me for going barefoot because it helps with my mental health and my spiritual health and my physical health. They simply can't. Long story short, it is illegal discrimination, just like if they discriminate against any other health condition that uses an accommodation. And I will stay on this hill. I will die on this hill that it is a valid accommodation that they cannot discriminate against me for. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, I agree entirely. And I don't.
It just gets me heated.
Yeah. And even like as somebody who has been, you know, coming to understand my different disabilities and interacting online in with, you know, content around disabilities and things like that, it's, you know, it's also shown me how much barefooting is an accommodation, but also how interrelated, you know, accommodation and accessibility is for all. And your statement, this isn't you saying that barefooting is, you know, an accommodation, and it's, you know, similar to, you know, a hearing aid or a cane. You know, as somebody, you know, who uses a cane, I definitely agree. And I think
yeah,
that
can you imagine going
people,
to a store?
Well, and hear
can
me
you
out,
going
though,
into a
most,
store? I'm sorry, but I just have to say something. Can you imagine going to a store and them telling you you can't go in there because you're using your cane that day? Think about it. If you went into a store and they told you, like, I'm sorry, you can't come in here with a cane, you'd be like, what the actual crap? You know, and it's just the same thing to me. If someone tells me I can't do that, I'm like, you're telling me I am not allowed to use the accommodation that actually benefits and helps me get through my daily life.
Yeah, and the thing is I think people who are not disabled or not do not experience disabilities because, you know, barefooting is something that genuinely helps with multiple different disabilities for me, including autism. And, you know, a lot of people who aren't disabled or, you know, haven't experienced issues even with other people in their lives with disabilities may find that, well, that could potentially find that offensive to compare, you know, barefooting as an accommodation to other accessibility tools, but it's not. And the interesting thing I find is that all across the disabled community, there are a lot more understanding to the weird, the quote unquote weird, unconventional accommodations like barefooting for disabilities than non-disabled people are. Because even if it's something that doesn't work for them, they know other people that do, where they have knowledge or understanding or can imagine on some level with empathetic intelligence or emotional intelligence that how it can be an accommodation or how it is an accommodation. And I think that it's so interesting how all these different things in accessibility are definitely tied in. A lot of the barefooting that I see online, like all of the posts that I've been seeing that have nothing to do with, like, barefoot is legal, there are, I mean, I kind of brought this up last week, but again, I've seen more this week, where it's, you know, last week I talked about how a lot of it was, you know, related to autism and ADHD, but I saw some things this week that were talking about, you know, hypermobile joint syndrome, which is something that I have, and
right,
and seeing different things about how different chiropractic issues and muscle issues, and, you know, these are people who are health and wellness coaches or practitioners, and I don't know, and it's very interesting how I think that, you know, mainstream society, which has a lot of ableism coded within it heavily, among other horrible forms of discrimination, unfortunately just has such a derogatory view of barefooting rather than it being something that adds healing and is accommodating and is something that accessibility should, there should be accessibility around. It's, and instead they look at it as deviance, you know, defiance and opposition. Just being rebellious because they don't understand how it is an accommodation because they don't have those experiences with being disabled or having a, or being around people, other people that are disabled or have disabilities. However, people prefer to use identifying language with that. But like it's, and then also when you factor in all that ableism that's heavily coded, whether, and it's definitely very harmful, but a lot of people who, I think honestly the people that have been the most understanding to my barefooting and haven't questioned the most have been people that experience chronic health issues or disability issues or anything like that. Even if they don't also barefoot themselves or don't understand it, they still understand it and they still validate it. And so I think that there's definitely a lot of, you know, intersectionality within accessibility and accommodation across communities. And I think it's also, you know, important for us to remember that there are barefooters that belong to so many different types of disabled communities or communities with disabilities. And they are all welcome and have a place here. And that's why, like, sometimes I think about that with people who are deaf or hard of hearing, like with our show, I've thought about, you know, in the future, you know, once we're in the ideal place to be able to do this, you know, be able to have transcripts where people on a blog where
that
people
would be
could
awesome.
Read them because, like, I think about that sometimes and because I think of other aspects.
That would be
of
awesome if we could do
something,
that.
Yeah. And it's something I already think about in
reading
my
our
own
conversations,
life.
Though.
But, like, you know, I think about accessibility and accommodations in my own life for my own things, but it is something that I do think about for other things, and it's hard wishing and feeling like I could do more. And, you know, but I think the fact that we're even talking about these things and addressing things, this is a way that, you know, we can do something, that I can do something, you can do something, you know, rather than feeling helpless by our inability to make executive changes that are necessary.
Attention
is our greatest asset. In any form of activism, in any form of accessibility and accommodations, whatever it is that there is something that needs changed, attention, collective attention is our greatest tone asset. That's how so many things enter mainstream news and get addressed that need to be addressed is because of collective attention, especially with, you know, a lot of the freedoms of social media, although censorship is also a very real thing. You know, there's a lot more freedom, and this causes people to be able to push, you know, for issues to get addressed and issues to be brought up, even issues with celebrities and, you know, things that they've done, you know what I mean? Like, the people is the big way of how that gets addressed, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think if there's anything that you feel hopeless about and you feel like, oh, all you're doing is talking about it, you're doing something. Talking is still an action. And even in the physical form, even if you want to get into spiritual stuff, talking is still an action. When, you know, and yes, it may not be enough to just talk about things, right?
Right.
Especially when we look at the way things are done in mainstream media. Often there's a conversation with no constructive criticism, no constructive debate, no problems being solved. And I think that's why we, as people, get so tired of, oh, just you can't, talking isn't enough, because there's no real action.
Right, because it's not. But it inspires other, inspires action.
At the same time, I think we need to reclaim speech and voice and the sake of powerful, constructive conversations and start talking about the things. And so maybe right now all you can do is talk about it. But the more you talk about it, the more attention is being brought to it. The more you share and repost things, the more information and attention is being brought to that, with barefooting, with activism, with anything you care about. You know, attention being brought to that is how it gets addressed, and that's how things snowball, and then that's how, you know, more people come together and create resources, and that's how, where you may, the more you talk about it, find people that are like-minded, agree with you, and you know, and yes, you may have to deal with some opposition, but know that those people are part of the problem, and even the people that you may be getting this oppositional energy with, you know, just leave. Just let go of it and know that you at least still challenge their mindset. And they could have gone their whole lives without anyone challenging their mindset. So you set in the seat of change and critical thinking by even addressing it. So don't let it tear you down. And sometimes it's hard when you just want to have a constructive conversation. I often want to go to have constructive conversations most of my life, and it's most of my life has been hard as someone who's autistic and like looks at things differently and wants to have these constructive conversations. And other people just want to throw their problems into even political conversations in a way that isn't relevant, but is actually very harmful and is a part of the fear-mongering propaganda, you know? And so, you know, don't let that tear you down, especially, you know, with your barefooting or whatever else adds value to your life and is important and it matters to you. But because the more you focus on it, the more you will find those people who are like-minded. You will be able to get in touch with those people, those organizations, your, you know, your algorithm, your For You page, you know, will adjust to be able to find that information and find those things. Like, you know, whether it's on social media and real life, like the more that we bring attention to things, like there's so much power in that. And that's how things get addressed. That's how things talk about. And that's also how we get put in situations where we can take action and do something about it.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And I like what you said when you said talking is action. Because, like, sometimes if you feel if we're just talking about it and telling people about it, we're not really doing much. But you're doing a lot because you're making, like you said, you're making someone think about it. And, like, I tell them, too, I'm like, if you don't believe me, look it up. So then you're causing them to use their research and critical thinking skills and put them to use, you know. So you're helping them with their neural connections even, you know. It's like, you can do so much by just like, you're like, if you don't blame me, look it up. That one sentence, if they're willing to look it up, you've just done so much just for them, and they don't even know it. And you don't ever even realize it, I don't think.
The more that people have these interactions with things that challenge their schemas, the more that this will open their mindset. So you may not be, you know, the end-all, be-all mindset changer for them, but you still planted a seed, and those things will unravel.
Exactly.
And even, you know, but
if some seeds take longer to grow than others. Just like in nature.
Yeah.
You know, depends on the soil they're in and the water level they get, sunlight they get, and all that.
Sorry, I'm trying to remember what I was saying. I distracted my burp. We are coming up on the last 3 minutes, so I didn't know if you had anything else you wanted to share.
Just, if you're able and it's warm enough, go out even for a few, I recommend going out even for a bare, few minutes barefoot. It is freaking glorious out here right now. I am beyond thrilled to be able to be out here today on December 2nd to be able to get out and do my thing. So I'm really out of breath right now. So, but
yeah,
other than that,
yeah,
just be kind. Help when you, my usual, be kind. Help when you can. Don't be a jerk. You know, it's,
yeah,
and be confident in yourself.
Sure.
Be confident in your abilities. Be confident in knowing your rights. You know, just know that you're in the right, and that can be sometimes be all the help you need. So.
Exactly. Yeah, remember, folks, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces in the United States. We're not doing anything morally or legally wrong. Just keep doing what is best for you. There's no shame in doing what's best for your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health, or any other facet of health. You know, it's just be safe, pay attention to your surroundings, you know, take it at your own pace and listen to your body. Yeah, you got this. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle and know that you're not doing anything wrong. There are no laws or health codes against barefoot in the United States. And this was Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal.
Are there people that come at you or just ignorant? Sorry, I was going to say people that come at you are just ignorant and stand your ground. You know, sorry.
You're good, yeah.
You take care of
yourself. You know, calm the best you can and just focus on the facts and the information when dealing with ignorance and opposition, but know that your feelings are completely valid. But this is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general tips, support, information, encouragement, and whatnot around the barefooting lifestyle. You can check us out on barefootislegal.org, Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram, and on Facebook at the public page and private group is Barefoot is Legal.
That's Real Barefoot is Legal. Real, don't forget, it's Real Barefoot is Legal on Insta.
Yes, Real Barefoot, I thought I said that.
Is that what you
Real
said?
Barefoot is Legal on Instagram. But on the Facebook public and private page, it is Barefoot is Legal. But we are in the last 8 seconds of the show, so take care, guys. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Peace out.